Good morning, or as David Frost used to say, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. We're coming to you this week at the special time of 8 a.m. UK time. I believe that's 1800 hours, 6 p.m. in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. Is that correct, Steve?
It is, Tom. It is. You got that right. Or if you're in Sydney, it's probably 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So this is the first time we've run one of these to Australia. My guest is, I found out already without coming on, that he's a morning person, because last night before I went to bed, I put a link to this up on LinkedIn, and Stephen replied. He says, I'm up, I'm going for a run at like 5:36 in the morning. Anyway, my guest today, I met almost exactly 6 years ago in Baker Street, London, at the BDO office there, where he was part of a global partner leader program that I was involved with supporting. And I was very impressed and inspired by this young man, and I've not actually spoken to him since. Didn't manage to meet up when I went to the Gold Coast of Commonwealth Games a couple of years ago, my first visit to Queensland. And so when I started the show, he was definitely on my list of people to get on, and I'm really glad that Stephen is coming on at the end of his working day. He looks bright as a button. And as always, our theme is what comes next. And with that, over to you, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tom. I can't believe 6 years has already gone since we met in London. And you're too kind. Not sure what impressed or inspired you, but I haven't been able to go back and find my notes, which made that impression. So we'll give it a shot. But thanks for having me today. It's great to have a chat to you about leadership and about these topics. So I think, I guess just to maybe give you a bit of background story of where I've come from and progressed to. As you said, I was on that course, which I was very fortunate and grateful that BDO sponsored the Global Partner Leadership Program, which was a series of four sessions across different parts of the globe, with other BDO partners at the time who were young budding partners looking to sort of climb the ladder. So the last one ended in London where I met you, and we had a fantastic time, and it was just such a great opportunity to just meet other people and explore things that relate to leadership, but which at the end of the day are very common from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And that's, I got a lot out of the course, but that was one of the things that, you often think that you're in your own bubble, solving your own problems. But as is the case with everything, it doesn't matter where you are, or what you're dealing with, the problems are very similar. People's traits are very similar, and there's a lot to be gained by sharing that knowledge.
So there's a bit of an echo going on here. Just turn it down. I'll pause on that for a moment, because just to amplify that piece, I've worked in over 35 countries in the last 10 years, and I joke that I don't speak more than one language, but that I speak English in at least 8 languages. So I'm very curious about cultural differences within English-speaking countries. So Australia is different from New Zealand, and you've got 54,000 people going to watch a small sporting event shortly. And I came to realize that in Queensland, rugby league is almost a religion, right? Just as in Canada, in Toronto, everybody supports the hockey team that never wins, and things like this. But the point around all of this is that despite all those nuances, people are people. It doesn't matter if you're leading yourself, your family, 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people. So that's a commonality. So if we fast forward a little bit, where are you now? And we're not physically, you're in Brisbane, Queensland, right? But where are you now? And in terms of business, what are your responsibilities? What are you seeing, and what's next?
Yeah. So physically, obviously in Brisbane, and this is where I've spent my entire life. So I probably have had one of those more boring lives as far as travel goes. But I've seen you, I've moved into the role of office managing partner of the Brisbane office, which was a fantastic opportunity for me to really grow into leading a group of great people that I've been working with now for almost 24 years. So I think at the time, at the time in 2014, I was heading up the corporate finance group of the firm. And yeah, just to put it in context, this is a firm when I joined in January 1997 was turning over about $6.5 million with, from memory, 7 partners. We're now approaching 70 partners and $120 million just in the Brisbane office. So it's been phenomenal growth and just, you know, talking about leadership and longevity of people in the same place. We've just had one of those groups that have been, you know, had so many great people to learn off and who've stayed for a long time in the firm and created a great culture.
So that's a staggering size. For what's the size of the Brisbane metropolitan area?
Look, there's probably in Queensland in total, there's about 5 million people. In Brisbane itself, there'd be somewhere between, well, it depends on how far out you go. But I'd say approaching, you know, 3 million people in the wider Brisbane area. A lot of the population is in southeast Queensland. But yeah, it's not a huge, you know, it's often referred to as the big country town.
Yeah, to reference that kind of level of growth. And to have an office that's of that size and scale wouldn't be out of place in a city the size of the one where I live currently, London.
I think that's
a very, very big office for a professional services firm.
I think that's right. And you know, we're probably in size wise, people wise, and revenue wise, we'd be up there with some of the larger firms, and are playing in a very different space. And I guess we've been challenging them over the years and backing ourselves. And that's one thing that, you know, quite a few of the partners, but in particular, the first partner that I worked for coming through, was just brilliant at inspiring, me to have the confidence to take it out and challenge, that we can do this and, you know, there's no magic behind doing work for larger companies or growing, you know, at certain rates. And yeah, he always used to say they're no brighter than us across the road. So just get in there and have a go. And that was great advice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did extensive work with one of your partner firms, one of the gentlemen who was on that course with you in 2014. So I spent 2015, 2016 a lot in one of the countries. And we kind of, they've been, as for viewers, there are four absolutely dominant firms in global accountancy called the Big Four. BDO globally has carved out a position as number 5. And 6 years ago, that wasn't quite so much clear blue space. But it was definitely still number 5 by a small margin. Now it's number 5 globally by a big margin that varies country to country. In this country, they were number 6 at the time. And there was an upstart company full of confidence that had accelerated from 7 to 5 at the time. And one of the things was that the partners, many of whom, much like yourself, had been in the firm since the beginning of their career, would go, it's not a lot of fun going, we're number 6, we're number 7, we're number 5. So they said, what would it be like if you just said we're number 1? That'd be great, but we're not. We can never catch up with these people. Right? I said, but why don't you just look at what can you be number 1 at? And that actually was a thought that they then took, and they are number 1 in many things now. They're not number 1 in terms of total revenue, but they're number 1 in the markets they play in. And within 2 years, they became the number 1 employer of choice for university graduates going into accountancy. Right. Now that's something, you can carve out. So looking at that, that piece of that belief, and you said there were people who helped you, that, you know, backing yourself and believing in you. Now you're the big cheese. You're the office managing partner of this office. We'll not talk about numbers or revenue or anything anymore, but, you know, what's your leadership style? You know, what have you learned and what are you now applying?
Yeah. So I think it is, in a nutshell, it is trying to play to the people that we have, their strengths. And I think there's, you know, the one thing that I've learned is making sure you've got the right people on board to start with. And there's a few key things that we look for in that regard, but you know, making sure you've got the right people on board, understanding what their strengths are and being transparent about that and communicating that, and really playing to their strengths. And, you know, I think back in London, I think I presented on this, at that leadership course, and I used the band as an analogy, with all the different instrument players in the band and, you know, the sort of music that they can create or not create, depending on how you coordinate them and where you put them. But it's all about, from my perspective, making sure that you are developing the strengths of your people and your partners and playing to those strengths. And I think this is where, in the accounting profession, we're not all that good at doing this. There's a lot of firms, that, you know, will say, well, to be a partner, you need to be, you know, reasonably good at A, B, C and D. And those things could range from business development through to technical skills, through to mentoring staff. You know, whereas I think that there's an opportunity, right now to play to, the strengths and say, well, no, you're an excellent, you know, technical person. You can't sell ice to an Eskimo, but that doesn't matter. You know, you're an exceptional technical person, best of the best. Let's make sure you're in the right seat. And equally on the business development side, that you could have some partners that know enough to be dangerous from a technical perspective, but are excellent salespeople, have enough commercial acumen to get in the door and do what they need to do and, you know, identify the issues and bring others along with them. And I think that's really what we've been trying to do. And I was fortunate because I had the opportunity to do that in the corporate finance team. And, we had fantastic people when they're still there, so have fantastic people in that team. And, we played to their strengths and just made sure that, you know, we were moving work around, to make sure the right people were doing that work, and that work could have been, you know, initial meetings with clients or business development or technical work, whatever it was. And it worked incredibly well. The growth was phenomenal without sort of having to bring in too many external people over the top of others. And, you know, the more that we did that, and played to strengths, the more that they stepped up. And, you know, it's actually when you see it working in action, it's a really interesting, way to go. And it's about, I think, probably, relinquishing a bit of control as well and saying, you know, this is not my area of strength. You're better at doing that, than I am. And that can be uncomfortable, when you initially start to do that. But, it's just about, I think, letting them go, getting out of the road, knowing that you've got the right people and you are playing to their strengths.
I absolutely agree. I want to dig into something you said at the beginning of that, that when you started to talk about the band and playing to people's strengths, before you even said that, you said, well, there are certain things we look at to get the right people on board. So let me just look to dig into that. And I'm not talking about, did they go to the right university? Did they do the right course? Have they got the right technical skills? What are the intangibles you look at?
Yeah, so there's a few things. But the key ones, I think is obviously intelligence is a key issue. You know, I think that there's a, and it doesn't need to be the course that, you know, you were doing, which is relevant to accounting, let's say, just general intelligence is obviously, something which is a key issue. Common sense is also one that, you know, you can test for and you know, is incredibly important. And by that, I mean, people who have intuition where they get to a bit of a fork in the road and they understand, you know, do I go left or right? And, you know, 90% of the time, their intuition will push them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And what we've found is, you know, there's some incredibly intelligent people that just lack a bit of common sense. And so it's about getting that balance right. And it's not to say that, you know, if you don't have the common sense, that's the end of it. It just means knowing that person might be are particularly good in a certain role. So they're probably two key skills. The other thing we do a lot of work around, and we try and encourage the development of, is just controlling yourself and your own emotions, because your impact on others, if you can control yourself, is just so much greater, and in a positive way. And you know, there's some very intelligent people with a lot of common sense that don't control their emotions very well, don't control themselves very well, you know, and their impact on the team is not great at all. So they're probably the three areas that we do a lot of work on, and you know, we try and as much understand, you know, who these people are, so that we can work on their development areas, play to their strengths. And I think grow them, because the more we can grow them, the more we can grow the team and the more we can grow the firm. So that's the theory behind what we look for.
Well, it's, you asked me, you're being very self-deprecating, which is fine. But I'm not a fan of false modesty. And you know, you're in a very senior role now, but you asked me what inspired me. It was actually this way you show up, this, what you were talking about, playing to strengths, et cetera. And it, so I'm really quite focused. I'm curious about, you know, seeing a business that's gone 20 times in size in a relatively small regional market. You know, for those not, I'm not particularly familiar with Australia, but for those who aren't, Australia fits inside the contiguous United States, which most people would think of as a big country. And the population of Australia is roughly a tenth of the United States. Queensland is mostly concentrated in the southeast area, as you said, but is a big place. But you know, it's an relatively isolated spot in the world. And you've had this huge success. And I believe that my belief from my experience is it's not because you're looking at intelligence, right? And I don't want to get academic and scientific, but that's a bit of an interesting construct scientifically. Common sense, intuition, yeah, key. But when you're talking about, in order for people to play to their strengths, they have to let go of control. You said that, relinquish control. So I would figure that the secret sauce is actually behaviors and awareness, and normally captured into an organization as values. So let me just do my party trick, Stephen. What are the values of your company?
So we've been through a significant project over the last little while, which has formalized our values into a series of five words, essentially. But I think the thing that and those, for completeness, are one bold human strive. And here we go. I'm put on the spot. I'm going to forget the last one. And heart. So we've made that quite simple. And when we went through that project, we had buy-in. We had some sessions with clients, with staff, with partners, a whole range of different stakeholder groups, and it really resonated and has become, you know, the values, formal values for the Australian firm. But I think, you know, that's all nice to go through that process and come up with that, and we've got some nice logos that go with it. But the thing that is really resonates in this firm, and ever since the day that I walked through the door, you know, well and truly before the day that I walked through the door, but in terms of what I noticed, is just the trust and the respect that everybody has for each other, in the firm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you want to create. Because that'll allow, you know, you to sort of relinquish a bit of that control and give the opportunity to others to run with. But I think, you know, we often talk about the, you know, trust and respect as being the key parts of the organisation and the key things that go to culture. So that would be the way.
Oops. Weird. Okay.
No, you're right.
The often values are things that's, in my experience, that sit on the wall. And clearly that's not the case for you. And one of the things I would tend to look at is how do they work in practice, and a bit of storytelling, you know. And but let me, you know, give you, when I work with senior leaders one-to-one, I often find that one of the big challenges they have is they'll go, I've got a really high performer who we've got problems with. So they, I'm guessing in your firm, they wouldn't make it up to partner if that continued. But let's say you've got a really high performer who's in your Rising Stars program, but actually they're not controlling themselves. They're not acting with trust and respect. What would you do?
So now, we've got a series of courses that develop, a whole range of skill sets, and the more senior people coming through to the partnership ranks, go through a whole range of different processes, testing and 360 reviews and all those sorts of things. And these things are identified, we won't compromise, that trust and respect element, irrespective of how they perform. And I've seen something recently, I just can't remember where it was, and it's probably going to be something really obvious, but there's a bit of a grid that you have with performance and trust. And, you know, everybody wants the person in the top right hand corner of the page where the performance is really high and the trust is really high. But there's, you know, there's evidence to suggest, and you can see why, that, you know, you can sacrifice a little bit for performance as long as you make it up on the trust. Because that's what makes the team work, whereas the opposite will destroy the team. And what happens once you get enough of the right people moving in the right direction with those sort of behaviors, the others don't survive in there. They sort of almost self-filter out, because the behavior gets called out, not necessarily by me or one of the other partners, but by their colleagues, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's another fantastic piece of wisdom from experience that you're just sharing, and that I've seen again and again, is that when you fully embrace a culture of responsibility and trust, it spits people out who don't fit in. And they'll normally either self-select out, they'll just go, this isn't the place for me. So, you know, when you've got HR departments that go, we need to, in air quotes, performance manage somebody, which normally means, well, we need rid of them, but we're not sure how to do it. Once you've got a culture, which is actually about playing to strengths, trust and respect, it works really well. So what I'm really inspired is my only word, but I'm inspired, excited to hear where things are. You know, it's, you know, that meme that's going around where people just say, you know, where it was, where it is now kind of thing. I can't remember how the language goes. And go, and there's Stephen 6 years ago telling us about the people in the band, and now he's the office managing partner for Brisbane. And what you're sharing is stuff that I, over my career, talk to people about again and again and again. You just need to do this, and it's going to be so much easier to grow your business. And what they're looking for is practical examples. Well, if they watch this conversation, they're hearing a practical example. So conscious we have 30 minutes, so we've got about 6 or 7 minutes to go. And we talk about kind of where you are, but it's evergreen. What's next? Either for yourself, for the firm, or...
I've only just started in this role. So there's plenty to come next. Yeah, we've got... we're going through a process in the Australian firm at the moment to bring together all the national offices. So, you know, that there's a great opportunity there to make sure that we've got, consistency in our approach to leadership and to culture and values and behaviours. As you said, you know, Australia's a pretty big place. So there's a big project in that, and as one of the office managing partners, I'm heavily involved in that. So that's going to keep us entertained over the next little while. I've seen the firm develop over the 24 years almost, and I've been fortunate that I guess others that have sort of come before me have had the same philosophy and given me the opportunity So I'm really just building on that now. What I would like to do is just to really bring that philosophy of playing to strengths into each of the divisions, so that we can, and not that there's anything wrong with the way the others are, divisions are operating, but some of them have operated in a more traditional accounting sense. And, you know, if we can bring those philosophies, en masse to each of the groups and really make sure that we've got the very best technical people playing to the technical strengths, the very best, you know, mentors, mentoring people, the very best business developers developing the business, then I think we've got a long way to go. And, you know, we haven't, I get asked that question a bit in the Brisbane market, you know, how big can the firm be? Well, you know, we're nowhere near, stopping growing at the moment. We've got a lot to go. So
there's only one professional services firm I've come across of a similar scale that has identified, the two that I've come across that and worked with that have identified the two key areas you're looking at. One is the playing for strengths. Recognizing, as you said, you can be brilliant technically, but if you can't sell snow to Eskimos, don't send you out in business development. Right. So that's the what role do you play? And then the key to that is people being able to subsume egos and actually go, everybody has a place on the team. Right. And that's the second piece of two, which is the way you behave, the values, the behaviors. And the stereotype around the world of Aussies is that they're very intuitive, right? But also they're quite tough and hard-nosed and thick-skinned, right? And you've just spoken of the values that you've built for your business, and two of them are human and heart. And that stands out for the crowd. So I'm really impressed, and I just feel that you're whether or not you do, I'm going to be sending this podcast out once it goes out to several of the people I know around BDO Global. So your influence will stretch out just here from 30 minutes and out into the world. So I'm totally inspired by hearing your thoughts about, you know, you've got a long way to go. Things are just quickly, we touched on before, things are kind of different down there. The most popular sport down in Queensland is rugby league, right? And they've got 54,000 people going to the stadium to watch the State of Origin game. I won't bother explaining that in the last 2 minutes. But you also said that, I'm having a stay-at-home day or work-from-home day today. And I went, yeah, that's like every day up here right now. We're locked down. But for how many thousand miles we are apart, the commonalities of what it's like at the top of an organization, every business has people in it. That's the commonality. And what you're doing is what I would call simple but not easy. And I just, you know, tip my hat to you as a cyclist, chapeau. Just keep doing more of what you're doing and the influence will radiate out. So.
Yeah, no, I think it's all good.
I'll leave you a minute or two to as I now take into doing, let my guests close the show. So just have a minute, give us a minute or two on, you know, think expansively, you know. What would you love to be doing in the next few years to expand your influence and make a difference?
Yeah. Well, just picking up on one of those themes, you know, you said Aussies are a bit thick-skinned or tough-skinned. You know, maybe we're mellowing a bit in our old age as we grow a bit older as a nation. But I think, you know, the more and more we can talk about this stuff and pull down our guards and be a bit more vulnerable, because you're probably right. We have as a nation been punching above our weight and trying to prove ourselves. But I think everyone, you know, kind of learn a lot when you sort of take down the guard a bit. And be a bit vulnerable, and the reaction you get from your people when you do that is incredible. And you know, you learn so much yourself, I think it works really well. So, but you know, look, there's a lot of good things happening. I'm really positive. I think, you know, the world's been through a difficult year, just to say the least. You know, Australia has had, you know, very few cases relative to other parts of the world, particularly, you know, Europe and America. I'm very positive about what sort of lies ahead as we emerge out of this. And you know, we just got to keep coming back to what are the opportunities in all of this. It is, you know, there's so many themes I could pick onto here, Tom, but, you know, talk about people businesses and businesses that aren't people businesses. They're all people businesses as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing or how few people you have. Ultimately, that's what makes an organization tick, and you've got to, you know, you've got to acknowledge that.
The number of nuggets in what you said in the last 30 minutes, including in the last minute, are staggering. I'm going to be sending this podcast and video out to so many people going, don't take my word for it. Here's a guy who's done it and continues to do it. So please know that the simple but not easy leadership you're doing, you know, like being vulnerable, for example, is very powerful for leadership. Is having an influence that pebble in the pond in Brisbane radiates, you know, 15,000 kilometers around the world the next day. So, I am breaking my rule and I'm wrapping up because I'm just enthused. So, thank you very much, Stephen Sorbello from BDO, Australia, office managing partner of the Brisbane office. And, I hope you do more and more. I know you've done a few, but I hope you do more and more sort of video interviews, podcasts on leadership. And in perhaps talking about Brisbane and Queensland, Australia, but perhaps just talking more general themes, because what you have to say is really important. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Really appreciate the opportunity. It's been great talking to you again.
Cheers.